everyone, and welcome back to the Line of Vienna's week preview. So we're one game in, one defeat. Bolton Wanderers, even their travels for the first time this season, heading to Essex to face Colchester United. Joining me to preview the game is James, Jamie and Tom. So we'll start this week's podcast looking back at last week's game against Forest Green Rovers. Obviously, first league game, first defeat, quite possibly the worst performance we've seen this season. I'll go to you first, James. After the encouraging second half display we saw against Crewe, how disappointing was it to see such a poor performance in our opening league fixture?
It was turgid. I was banking on us carrying on the form that we'd showed in the previous two matches, having a poor first half and then having a much better second half. This time, we somehow managed to have an even worse second half than we had in the first. Because at least in the first half, we created a couple of chances. The most notable ones that I can remember being Owen Doyle's, who seems to be cursed now that he's joined us, and Reece Greenidge's header that somehow went wide. Second half, I couldn't recall any chance that we had. Could not tell you a single one. It was absolutely dire to watch, and I'm hoping that's just a case of getting all the kinks out of our system and just getting the crap out of the way, because if we play like that against Colchester, even as poor as they've been so far this season, we would deserve to lose based on a performance like that.
Yeah, it was certainly disappointing given how we had performed in the second half in both the cup games to see such a lackluster performance in the second half against Forest Green. But it could have, as James said, it could have been a different story had Doyle finished that chance, Tom.
He looks absolutely desperate to score. I think that's his issue. The don't get me wrong, he's a 32-year-old who has had a weight of expectation on him at quite a few clubs that he's played at before, but I don't think it's helping him the fact that everyone's coming out saying he will definitely score 20 goals a season without a doubt, you know, put their houses on it, etc., etc. I really don't think it can be helping the lad, because in that particular situation, it was Sarcevic's chance, really, and Doyle has got in his way, bullied his captain off the ball, made a more difficult chance for him by having to cut inside and then have the shot. I think he just needs one to go in off his arse or something, completely without any kind of knowledge of finishing it, whatever, because he's so keen to score. I think it's getting in the way of his general play, which hasn't looked particularly impressive in the three games that we've seen from him. But yeah, could have been a completely different game. You know, in sliding doors moments, we could have been 4-0 up at half-time. We could have been 4-0 down, such were the chances that were going at both ends. But James is right. In the second half, with the exception, I think Crawford had a long-range effort and he did make a difference when coming on. But by that point, I think there was a little bit of the confidence and belief sapped out of the teammates around him. Without that Crawford chance, we had absolutely no efforts on goal or in anger in my recollection. And it just seemed to be, as I said numerous times to yourself in the chat, it was a game that I've seen 100 times before, you know, under Phil Parkinson.
A player who drew a lot of criticism at the weekend, especially on social media, and he ended up leaving and then coming back, was Anthony Sarcevic, our captain. And I think a lot of the criticism kind of early, I think it's a lot of fans' frustration at seeing the losing mentality we've been talking about. And I'll come to you on this, Jamie. This all stems from, I think we all need to have a bit of patience, don't we?
I'd agree entirely with that. I mean, I missed the game, didn't watch any highlights, but players like Sarcevic and Doyle, we've already mentioned that they're big game players in this league, but there's a lot of expectation on them to come in, hit the ground running and fire the club to a League Two title. How realistic that is with a lot of new players, a new manager, etc., is what we're sort of coming to terms to reality now. And they're definitely class players at this level. They just need a bit of time to settle in, you know, grab a goal, whatever else it is, to get their confidence going. I think criticism at this point is entirely counterproductive. But I mean, if we want to try and balance the midfield, maybe talk about how Crawford comes on and makes an impact, as Tom was saying, perhaps looking to get him in from the start could be something that will improve Bolton's performances.
Yeah, I think the midfield's certainly a hot topic at the minute, because we haven't really seen a settled one, and I think they were a bit anonymous at the weekend. I'll come to you on this, James. Do you have a three that you'd like to play? Do you think we've got a solid midfield three, or do you think Ian Everett has some figuring out to do.
I think he'll say himself that he still has some figuring out to do, because honestly, none of the centre backs so far have really impressed. Like, none of them have really had a standout game that I can point to say, yes, you're automatically a starter. I suppose if I had to choose the three at the moment, I'd go with Taft, Baptiste, and maybe Brockbank, but then again, Santos's forward play can be somewhat really deadly, so it's even hard to choose one for that position, because honestly, most of them have underwhelmed so far, so I suppose that makes it an open position. Who knows, maybe we'll even sign Zuma before Colchester. Who knows? It's hard to say at the moment, but he will have to commit to this position, and I do have faith that it will connect at some point. Like, it'll all start to click, they'll all start to play off each other, and we'll be able to find that balance between getting forward and, you know, being able to defend when you need to, getting your shape right when, if they hit us on the counter, etc., things like that. So yeah, I'll have faith, but right now, nothing settled, and I don't think it's going to settle for a few games, to be honest.
Yeah, we spoke about it last week after Ian Everett's comments about Rhys Greenidge being the fastest man in the world, 100 metres on a fastest 6'7" bloke going. I'll come to you, Tom, on this. Is there a place in the team for both Greenidge and Taft, or do you see Taft on the left? You feel like he could play in the middle with Greenidge on the left, because I think Greenidge had a bit of a slow game, in all honesty. I don't think he had the best of starts in a Bolton shirt.
Well, let's be honest, he's not as quick as Everton's made out to be. The one time that he had the opportunity to show that pace, he got burned by whoever was playing on the right. I don't know who it was for Forest Green. To be honest with you, it's embarrassing that we lost to Forest Green, because I couldn't name you any of their players with the exception of Jamil Matt. So that's disappointing in itself. But no, Greenidge is nowhere near as fast as what Everton is making out. I'm sure he's a relatively competent defender. He actually showed me a couple of times that he has that Wieter ability of getting in the way of stuff, making last-ditch challenges like Zuma used to do. But I think Taft should either be starting there or starting in the middle. I have to admit, Baptiste was quite comfortably my man of the match against Forest Green. You know, everyone else was so poor, that could well be the reason as to why he was my pick. But I just got the feeling that he really was being let down by the people either side of him. I thought Santos and Greenidge, when they were coming forward in possession, weren't really giving him an awful lot of help defending if Forest Green did break. So I thought he was probably the most impressive one, so I wouldn't drop him at the moment. But I do think there is a position for Taft in that centre-back slot, because I can't see, just because what him being left-footed means that he has to be automatically the left-handed player. It doesn't seem like that is the most logical thing in the world. Surely if you're in the middle, it doesn't matter what foot you are. Greenidge didn't impress me particularly, so I would be looking to bring Taft back in, but I don't necessarily think he should be pigeonholed as our left-handed sided centre-back.
Yeah, I think he could play in the middle eventually, but possibly if Greenidge gets up to speed and if he proves in training. Like James mentioned, we've taken Johan Zuma back on trial, and Ian Everett said this week they're not going to rush into a decision. But with so many centre-backs already on the books, Jamie, do you see a place in the team for Zuma? And who do you feel would have to leave in order for him to sign?
Yeah, it all depends on who we can loan out, doesn't it? You look at Adam Senior, I don't think we know when Edwards is back, but if he could go out, and maybe Brockbank, I suppose, if you bring in Zuma. But I suppose one of the questions is, what level do you get the experience for those guys? Brockbank, you know, is he above National League at the moment, or would that be all right for his development? I think there's a lot of questions in that area. When you look across the squad, do we need another centre back, or could we do with a midfielder that maybe adds a little bit extra? Could we do with someone like a winger who would allow us to play a different system? I think it could be a risk signing another centre back without knowing we can loan out at least a couple of the younger players whose path would be blocked.
Certainly some decisions to be made at the back there. News came out today, this morning, that Rangers have failed to bring in one of their main targets, it seems. David Ball from Wellington Phoenix. It seemed as if Rangers were hoping that his contract was going to be terminated because of the financial restrictions in the A-League, but it seems that because they've got Gary Hooper and Stephen Taylor off the books, David Ball is going to remain a Wellington player. I'll come to you, James, on this. Do you feel like as if David Ball would have made an impact, or do you feel we're better suited to finding a low knee striker, a younger striker from the league above?
Well, to be honest, I don't know that much about David Ball, but from what the little that I have found of him, other than one season at Fleetwood where he got about 14 goals, his goal scoring record's not been very impressive, to be honest. Maybe I'm just speculating here, but it sounds like he would have been either competition or backup or maybe something along those lines for Doyle, but he doesn't seem like that kind of player. So is it just another link-up striker? Because then we'd have three with him, Miller and Delfonso. So yeah, for me, this is possibly a blessing in disguise. We could probably take advantage of the loan market and maybe try and get in a younger, more poacher type of striker to compete with Doyle, and get them some games. Do like we're doing with Tom White, where they're in the last year of their contracts, and if they impress enough, we could possibly sign them on for a free next season. There has to be players either rotting in the academies that are available like that, or just playing backup at the moment at some other championship clubs where it's maybe not quite their level, but in League Two they could easily do the job. There has to be players like that available, and I'm sure that's the kind of player they're looking for. But yeah, for me, no more free agents. It has to be the loan market at this point.
Yeah, and Ian Everett would agree with that, wouldn't he? Given his comments the other day. And if reports are to believe, we've tried for another striker. I believe it was Rico Hackett Fairchild from Portsmouth, who they signed in January from Bromley. And apparently, we had a loan bid rejected because we wouldn't pay the full amount of wages. So whether or not that progresses or whether or not we go into for another player remains to be seen. And obviously, the window's open for another couple of weeks until the start of October. Right, okay, so we'll move on to tomorrow's game against Colchester United, our first away trip of the season. I'll come to you, Tom, on this. Do you think Colchester present a great threat to Bolton?
I think that's a fair assessment. It's another good litmus test like Forest Green was, and I'm hoping we pass it a lot better than we did the previous weekend. Colchester, obviously being in the playoffs last season, had to lose a few of their key players, including Brandon Comley, although on first impressions they can have him back if they want. But I think going forward, Colchester look a reasonably strong outfit, very, very quick, with Kwame Poku and Giovanni Brown. Giovanni Brown's a player at League Two level who I've admired for quite some time. I thought he was brilliant at Cambridge. Looks like he's very skillful, good long shot, so we have to watch out for him. But yeah, I think it'll be a challenge. It will certainly be difficult to go away. We've not had good away form for quite some time now. But I don't know, maybe the pressure of being away from the Reebok, even though there's no fans there, I suppose, might help the lads. Three home defeats in a row is pretty poor from us. So maybe a change of scenery will get a change of result. But don't make any bones about it. We need to get a positive result from this, in my opinion. I think there's a lot of negativity around the club now. And as we know, what happens with Bolton, rightly or wrongly, it's a really, really toxic place when things are going against us. So I think a positive result is a must. Let's see if Ian Everett can live up to what he's been saying. And, he's seen what the issue is. Let's see if he's fixed it.
Yeah, we certainly could do with a triple A from the Reebok, given our recent form. But it has been almost a year since our last away win, which was the first of Keith Hill's tenure, I believe, the 2-0 win at Bristol Rovers. Do you think, leaving the homestead and going away from home will prove to be for Wanderers, Jamie?
Possibly. I mean, when there's fans in the stadium, there can be a pressure to playing at home in front of a louder home crowd when things aren't going well. Whether or not that translates into a crowdless environment is sort of up for debate at the moment, isn't it? But certainly it will encourage a slightly different game plan, because we'll be going away from home, even though it's more of a neutral venue. I'm sure Ian Everett will look set up slightly differently than he has been, so that might go and play to our advantage at the moment. I think time will tell on that. But, you know, Colchester, you'd expect to be a fairly solid side, fairly solid test. I think, for me, the key will be seeing improvements defensively, and hopefully we can build on that going forward and start getting more positive results.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, OK, so I'll get your score predictions now for the game. We'll start with you, James. How do you see tomorrow going?
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Jamie?
I'm going to go for a draw as well, but I'm going to go for 0-0, hoping our defence can stand the test.
And Tom?
2-0 win to the Wanderers. I think it's time for a change.
I get a bit of positivity. I'm going to agree with James and Jamie. I'm going to go with a draw as well. I'll say it's going to be 0-0. Why not? Nice and boring. Okay, so we're going to end the podcast today with another quiz. Seeing as you all enjoyed it last week. Can James reclaim his crown for this week? We'll wait and see. Obviously, we'll be learning a lot of fun facts last week, like there's a unicorn on Forest Green's badge, which is still really, really bewildering. But anyway, we'll get started. Question number one. Oh, I should say, just as you know, just shout out your name if you think you know the answer. Question number one. Which bird features on Colchester's crest?
I can never remember it.
Jamie.
Oh,
go on, Jamie.
Maybe an eagle.
It is an eagle. That's 1 point to Jamie.
If I get a donut again, I'm never coming on one of these.
Question number two. Which former Bolton Wanderers manager guided Colchester to the championship in 2006?
Tom.
Go on, Tom.
Phil Parkinson.
It's Phil Parkinson.
Oh, yeah. Of course it was.
Tom finally has a point in one of these things. Congratulations. Okay, question number three. We, of course, signed Brandon Conway from Colchester in the summer, but who did he start his career with?
Tom.
Tom.
Queen's Park Rangers.
It is Queen's Park Rangers. Tom takes the lead. He's on a run.
James, you shit.
Question number four. Which acrobatic former Premier League favourite started his career with Colchester?
Tom.
And Tom.
Lamana Lualua.
It's Lualua. That's 3 points to Tom.
Just got to jump in with that guess as well.
Lualua existed.
Oh, that is a fantastic answer. I didn't think any of you would get it. Okay, and finally, question number five. Which former Wanderer featured in the League One PFA Team of the Year under Phil Parkinson whilst at Colchester in 2006?
Oh, my God.
Absolutely no idea.
I'll give you a little clue.
Go on.
Yeah.
He's slagged off the site before publicly on Twitter.
I mean, it doesn't narrow it down much.
I was just about to say, yeah, that doesn't narrow it down.
Since when did David Weta play for Colchester?
When did Josh Vella play for Colchester?
Since when did Dean Moxie play for Colchester?
I honestly have no clue.
Okay, one final clue, and this will probably give it away. It's a bit quick. He signed for Ian Everett's former team in the summer.
I have no idea.
I genuinely have no idea.
Christ.
Oh my god. Oh, no,
so it's a Barrow player?
Yes.
Oh my god.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah, to the internet.
I can't wait for this to be released and for Lee just to be shouting at us right now because he knows who it is.
Hold on. Actually, he didn't sign for Barrow in the end, but he was on trial.
Okay.
Mistake.
Then I have even less of an idea.
Eddie, we haven't got a clue, mate. I think you might just have to give it away.
Okay. One final clue. He joined Bolton from your favourite team, Tom, Leicester City, in 2013.
Oh, Jamie, it's not going to be like... Was it Danny Shittu?
Wait, James.
James.
Oh, no. I probably got this completely... No. I don't know why I was thinking Owen Garvin, but it's not him.
No.
He came from Palace. I forgot.
Any last guesses now?
Kian Bolger?
Oh. Okay, I'm just going to tell you now.
Jermaine Beckford?
Oof, you're so close. You're so close.
Matt Mills? Neil Dans?
Who said that?
Is it Neil Dans?
It's Neil Dans!
Yeah!
I should have guessed Neil Dans. He's been everywhere.
He has been everywhere.
He was. He played for Parky in that Colchester side that reached the championship.
I've never have got that
in a million years.
No. I do like fans, though.
I didn't know he was on trial with Barrow. I thought he joined Tranmere pretty much straight away.
Yeah, he left Tranmere and he was on trial with Barrow. I thought he'd signed for Barrow, but seemingly not.
Wait, is that 4-1 me then?
That is, yeah, that's the end of the quiz. And with 4 points and one to Jamie and none to James. Tom's this week's winner. Congrats,
zero
Tom.
0-0. Well, unlucky, Jim.
Yeah. 1-1. We'll see what we'll see on the next pod.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on this preview podcast. We'll see you next week.